When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, we are exactly one day away, one more sleep, 24 hours from the Bears going on the clock. They're going to pick Caleb Williams, and then the fun is going to begin. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is the 46th pick, 2011 NFL Draft, Orlando Franklin, offensive tackle out of the University of Miami, Florida. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance, 24 hours away. I'm starting to feel the buzz. Orlando, we've been talking about this forever. The draft is a little overhyped, but there is real excitement. When you find out about trades and you're working your phone and you're working your remote, tomorrow is one of the best TV nights straight up of the entire year, in my opinion.
I like it. I like it a lot. And that's just because of, for me, it's not so much of the drama that you're kind of talking about, AG, where all the moving parts. I just like to see the reaction, a real-time reaction, because some of these guys, right, that's going to be, for a lot of them, the biggest night of their life up until that point.
Yeah.
Now, yes, you get married, and then that trumps it, and you have kids, and that trumps it, and you might be able to do some other things that might trump it, but at that point, it's a 22-year-old kid coming out of college. It doesn't get any better than this. Just seeing their live reaction has always been why I've always tuned in.
When you got the call from the Broncos to be the 46th pick in the draft, who was on the other end of the phone when you picked it up?
So I was in Toronto. I actually had to forward my phone to a friend's phone because my calls weren't really coming in. I wasn't able to hear her and stuff like that, and I'm international. So forward it to a buddy's phone, and he comes running, and I see a 303 number, and pick up the phone, and hello? Hey, Orlando, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I said, this is John Elway. I said, oh.
Whoa!
Wait a minute. Wait a minute, right? So he said, this is John Elway. Are you ready to become a Denver Bronco? And I was like, heck yeah, I am. So for me, like that's – and then I hung up the phone, and I didn't even get to say a word, and I just started crying, like tears. Like, thank goodness I was at home and in Toronto, because I probably would have made a fool out of myself. It would have been like – I don't know if you remember my draft day video. I was all about the intimidation. I'm, 6'7", 330 pounds, got tribal sleeve tattooed, and I'm not going to smile. I'm going to look as mean as possible, mean mugging. And you would have got to see me really weep some tears that night had they had a camera at my house.
You would have been a meme, and we still would have been posting social media clips of you even going into the 2024 draft. All right.
Yeah.
Will four quarterbacks be selected with the first four picks? There's so many big questions here. Find out tomorrow night. The 2024 NFL Draft is on ESPN Radio. It is presented by ESPN Bet. First round coverage starts 7 o'clock Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And you can also tune in on Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Fact. Or fiction.
All right, we got a lot going on one day until the draft. So, Orlando, it's time for you and I to play another edition of Fact or Fiction. Producer Tara is going to join us now. She'll give the statement. We have to say whether the statement is fact or fiction. Welcome, Tara. One day away from the draft. You excited?
Sure.
Folks, you don't get analysis better than that anywhere else on ESPN Radio. All right, Tara.
I am very excited. Everybody should tune in to listen to the NFL Draft on ESPN Radio tomorrow night. It's going to be a great broadcast, and I am very excited to listen.
I heard that the board op for that broadcast is extremely handsome, and I heard that the producer is extremely good at her job, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I wonder who's involved. I wonder who's involved in the production of this show. Tara, time for Fact or Fiction. Let's get it started with the first one. What do you got?
Fact or Fiction, Orlando. Caleb Williams will win a Super Bowl with the Chicago Bears.
Fiction. It's just too hard. It's too hard to win a Super Bowl. I think Caleb Williams is going to be a fine player. I think he's going to be that quarterback that comes in Chicago history and throws for over 4,000 yards. But I just don't think that he ultimately wins a Super Bowl.
Orlando, the last franchise quarterback of the Chicago Bears, really, was a guy who played in the 40s and 50s. Mm. It's almost been 100 years. I'd love to say yes to this because the good people of Chicago deserve to have a quarterback that they can trust. There's one other thing about Caleb Williams beyond the destination that scares me. I really think he was better as a sophomore than he was as a junior. I think he regressed a little bit as a player, which is a little bit eye-opening. I understand why they're taking him number one. I can't say I think the Bears are going to have a franchise quarterback that's going to lead them to a Super Bowl. I agree with you. I'd say fiction. Tara, what do you got next?
Marvin Harrison Jr. will not be the first wide receiver taken in this draft. Fact or fiction, Aaron?
So I'm confused on this. I mean, he was the best wide receiver in college football all year. He was going fourth in every mock up until about a month ago when I feel like people got bored and they started putting Malik Nabers there or Roma Dunze, the player from Washington there. This is a loaded receiver group, but I think that's a fact. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is probably the best overall player in this draft. Orlando, what do you think?
Yes, I'm right there with you. I mean, this young man went out there. All the hype has been going on for the last couple years behind this guy. And I'm with you. All of a sudden, a month ago, he's not in there. I think ultimately people realize that this is a generational player. This is a guy that's going to come in year one and could be a 1,000-yard guy for you easily as long as you have a run game and he stays healthy. So I think that he 100% is the first wide receiver. And I want to double down on what you just said, AG. I think he might be one of the best players in the overall draft, just as a complete player.
Fact or fiction with us, NFL draft style. We're 24 hours away from the Bears going on the clock. Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin in for an Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Producer Tara giving us the topics. Tara, what do you got next?
Fact or fiction, Orlando, there will not be a defensive player taken in the top 10 of the draft.
Ooh, not be a defensive player taken in the top 10. I got to go with fiction, man. I'm looking right there at that number 8 spot for the Atlanta Falcons. I'm saying the last couple years they've went out Kyle Pitts, Bijan Rondo. Like, they've spent a lot of firepower. Now they got Kirk Cousins. Now it's time to go get a real pass rush. Time to go get some guys that could cover some running wide receivers, some running backs out the backfield. I think Atlanta would be a nice candidate to take a defensive player at 8.
It's a passing league. And I think all these teams are tempted with the group of receivers that are out there. And also, Orlando, we're going to talk about this with you because this is the position you played. This is a loaded offensive tackle draft. Very deep at that position, and it's good at the top. I think that Atlanta's going to take an offensive tackle. I think there'll be some offensive linemen that go in the top 10, but I don't think you're going to see a defensive player until you get into the – and one of these teams, it might be the Jets, you know, at 10, GM Aaron Rodgers, that should think, hey, you know, maybe we ought to try to boost up because there is one, you know, facet of the game that nobody is talking about going into the draft this year. Tara, what do you got next? Little fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction, Aaron, a team will trade into the top 5 to draft a quarterback.
I think that's a fact, and I just think the Vikings have telegraphed their intentions here so much. And I think they're desperate to get out of the Kirk Cousins money, which obviously now they are. They're going to pay Justin Jefferson, and I think they've been destined to have J.J. McCarthy as their rookie quarterback. I think they're thirsty for it. I think they really want it. And there's so much smoke here on this. I think there's going to be some fire. I think they're the team up in Minnesota. Orlando?
I forgot the question, Tara. Could you repeat it really quick?
Will a team trade into the top 5 to take a quarterback?
Yes. I think that's a fact. I think that's always an option when it comes to the NFL draft. I think at the end of the day, if you are a team that has identified one of these young guys – as the quarterback of the future, you figured out that position for the next decade and a half, maybe even two decades if you're lucky. So if there is a guy that you have done all your homework, you brought him in for the pre-draft, you flew down to work him out, you met with him at the combine, and you say that this is your winner, I think you have to pull the trigger. So I always believe that that's a possibility when it comes to the NFL draft.
Amber and Ian, fact or fiction, let's both listen carefully here, Orlando. Make sure we both are on top of Tara's next fact or fiction. What do you got, Tara?
Fact or fiction, Orlando, there will be six quarterbacks in total taken in the first round of the draft.
No. I got to say fiction, unless it's a reach, because I like four quarterbacks in this year's draft. I don't like six. So for me, I think it's going to be four, and it's going to be a fiction and not six.
I can sense the thirst in Cleveland, which has been thirsty for a franchise quarterback forever. I can feel it. I can sense it. I know it's, and I think someone's going to go Michael Penix, and I think someone's going to take 64-year-old Bo Nix in the first round too, and it might be your and my Denver Broncos. I think there will be six quarterbacks in round one, which just goes to show you the teams that have them then get to pick all the other good players and not reach on a QB, and the rich will get richer in this draft, as per usual, as is the way in the NFL. Thank you, Tara. Thank you, Orlando. Another rousing edition of Fact or Fiction. Speaking of the Broncos, they may have the worst quarterback room I've ever seen. That's next. Amber and Ian, I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Orlando Franklin, and he might be playing quarterback for the Broncos on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, not only did the Broncos acquire a quarterback this week, they also acquired a punchline. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He is Orlando Franklin, and we are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. Right now, you go to the depth charts of all the teams, okay? You look at the Kansas City Chiefs, their QB1, Patrick Mahomes. You look at the Chargers, their QB1 is Justin Herbert. You bounce around the division, you go to Denver. Orlando, you're in Denver. You played for the Broncos. You see a quarterback room that includes Jared Stidham, Zach Wilson now, this week, and Ben DiNucci. Boy, I don't know that I've ever seen a more inept QB room in my life than the three guys that are going to be playing quarterback, I guess, barring a rookie, someone being drafted for the Denver Broncos this year.
Yeah, a lot of time sitting down, scratching my head and wondering what Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos are doing. I just don't see it. You know, I like what Jared Stidham has done over the last couple of years, but in a backup role. I don't think neither one of these three guys can be the starter and be the starter for the whole entire season. We just watched Sean Payton and his coaching staff bench Russell Wilson for the last couple of games. And now when I look at these quarterbacks, it's the exact same thing. If you go to the season, somebody's going to get benched or you're just going to be playing musical chairs. So I think the Broncos are going to look at tomorrow night and ultimately I think they move back to acquire another pick in the first round and maybe pick up somebody's second round pick because they don't have a second round pick in this year's draft.
Yeah. Well, the quarterback thing is going to be interesting to watch. I don't know if Sean Payton thinks that he can take just about anybody and turn them into a good quarterback. If I was Zach Wilson, I would want to sit for a while. I feel like he needs a complete and total, utter reset. And the sad thing with his situation, you know, he got thrust into this. He didn't choose to go to New York. They picked him. But all the rumors, Orlando, about him not wanting to play and his frustration and not wanting to be put back on the field, I think he's going to be looked at side-eyed by a bunch of the guys in that locker room. To heck with the fans that are going to be laughing if he ever comes out onto the field because of the way that Jets fans perceive him as the worst quarterback who ever played. I wonder if he could have any credibility in the Bronco locker room at all unless he really sits back and earns it over a long period of time.
But at the same time, for me, AG, who's the voice in that Broncos locker room right now? I think that that team is going through an identity crisis. Who is your leaders and the guys that step up on defense? It's not Justin Simmons. Got rid of him, right, a couple months ago. So does Pat Surtain have that character? Is he the vocal leader? Everything that I've heard, he's more of a more quiet and laid-back guy. So when you have a guy like Zach Wilson, I know what you're saying, but I just don't think that the Broncos have those guys that are – they would be checking a guy like that, like, yo, this is what we heard. Like, you need to answer to what we've heard about you, especially coming into this locker room. I think guys are just saying, hey, just come on. Let's welcome this guy with open arms. And I honestly, I do believe that in every NFL locker room, there should be a little bit of friction in each and every one of those locker rooms because you're dealing with a bunch of guys that were alphas at one point of their life for their college team, their high school team, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I was looking at some other quarter. The Browns, when they went 0-16 in 2017, they did not have a quarterback who ever won a game on their roster, okay? And they didn't win a game that whole year. They had DeShone Kizer, Cody Kessler, and Kevin Hogan. Now, I'm not saying that the Broncos quarterback room is loads better than that, but Stidham and Wilson have won games in the NFL before. And so my official ruling on this topic is that it is not the worst quarterback room in NFL history, but it is not far away, and I think you cannot bank on winning more than three. You're trying to beat Pat Mahomes with Jared Stidham and Ben DiNucci? And we got rid of one Wilson. I mean, I was all excited that I didn't have to watch Russ Wilson anymore, and here comes another Wilson to brighten my day. Boy, I'm sure the phones were ringing off the hook, yeah. Orlando, for people buying season tickets over in Broncos country just so they could get a front row seat for Zach Wilson and company.
I think the phones were ringing the opposite way. You had season ticket holders calling people to see if they could give away tickets, and people were like, yeah, we're not answering that phone call.
Yeah. What's their draft plan? You talked about trading back. You're there. Sean Payton addressed this, Broncos head coach. This is from last Thursday in the Broncos pre-draft press conference. Take a listen.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback, and yet It's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
I take that to mean they are going to draft a QB. They have to somewhere. Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin. What quarterback out of this draft is wearing blue and orange in those funky new uniforms, which is a whole other conversation, come Monday morning?
Which quarterback? So for me, I think it's going to be a guy like Bo Nix. I think the Broncos, you know, say, hey, let's trade back. Let's go get back into deep into the first round. Let's maybe pick up a second round pick as well. And now we really could make some noise. But I don't see them staying still this draft and taking a quarterback this week.
Yeah. It depends, you know, who starts to fall. Like, if there isn't a lot of movement in the top 10 and McCarthy's there at 12, I think the Broncos could do that. First of all, I don't think he's going to get to 12. Second of all, I don't think they're in a roster position to really be able to mortgage more draft capital to trade up. Like, we're just... The yeah. Broncos just got out of this nightmare of giving up all their draft picks to get Russ. Now they're going to trade more draft picks to move up to get another quarterback. I don't see that happening. I agree with you that they could move back, but can you trust Bo Nix I mean, he would then become your starting quarterback probably, right? You'd have to start him at the beginning, unless you're going to go Stidham or Wilson until the inevitable happens.
Yeah, so I think it would be Stidham until Bo's ready. Mm-hmm. But it's a fast track. It's, hey, you're not starting week one, but you might be starting week four. Like, so we're going to ease you into this. You're getting snaps. You're coming in week one. We got a nice little package for you, but you are going to be the guy, and we're going to get a 12 or 10 game sample size of you this year to see if we want to move forward with you or we're going to go in a different direction. No matter how you cut it, when you look at the Denver Broncos, they had to give up what they're giving up to send Russell Wilson away.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of talent on this roster. There just isn't. So you're going to lose a lot of football games and be in a position next year to either move up and go get your quarterback of the future or stay exactly where you are. But the Broncos quarterback of the future is in next year's draft, unless a guy like Bo Nix comes and just absolutely dazzles that coaching staff, does everything that they want him to do. And then they're saying, hey, you know what? Maybe we might have had our guy. But the guy is not on the roster right now, I promise you that.
I would trust Sean Payton's quarterback evaluation. But I wonder, because in Pittsburgh, they're thinking, oh my gosh, we got this Wilson guy who might go to the Hall of Fame one day for like $1 million. In Denver, you know, he's still like the Broncos' highest paid player, is he not? Even though he's going to be playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers this year. Will there be a moment you're watching the Broncos and you say, wow, I wish that Russ was still out there for the Broncos this year?
Yes. There's going to be a lot of moments. I think Russell Wilson is going to ball out this year. Wow. I think Mike Tomlin, with his attitude, the type of coach that he is, Russell Wilson is going to come out there, and it wouldn't shock me if the Pittsburgh Steelers are a game away from the Super Bowl playing in championship weekend.
Man, if that happens, I may go ahead and not watch football for January and February. Up next, Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. What other wrongs need to be righted? We'll explain. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Well, Reggie Bush finally has his Heisman back, and it's time for Orlando Franklin and I to right some other wrongs in sports. This is Amber and Ian, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, 888-SAY-ESPN, the number if you want to jump in with us. Give us a wrong in sports that needs to be righted. This was wrong for years. I still considered Reggie Bush a Heisman Trophy winner. He couldn't go to the ceremony. He couldn't participate in the fanfare. He didn't actually have the physical trophy itself, and now he does. It has been returned to him, to its rightful owner. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Orlando, we'll get to people's calls in a matter of moments, but first, I will hand it over to you. A participant, Super Bowl 48, with the Denver Broncos, a big hockey fan, big sports fan. I give you the power as the sport commissioner, the sport god. You can right a wrong in sports. Which one are you righting?
Well, I got to go with the obvious. I went to the University of Miami. The no call, it should have been a no call against Ohio State for Miami to win back-to-back national championships. I got to go with that. They called the passing interference on my guy, Glenn Sharp, and it was too late. That foul should have never been called, in my opinion.
So you think, because that was the last play of the game, I just want to get this straight. I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. Because it was the last play of the game, the NCAA should come out with an announcement that actually the 2002 national champion is not Ohio State. that it is the University of Miami, that upon further review, there is no pass interference called, and that Miami, not the Buckeyes, are the rightful 2002 national champions.
Hey, I'll take that. You asked for a right of no call. So that's my no call that I want to be corrected, right?
To be corrected, yeah.
I'll give you one been a flag.
That I was thinking of, which is sort of along the same lines of a questionable call, okay? Mm. Armando Galarraga of the Detroit Tigers, that should be a perfect game against the Indians a number of years ago. So Orlando, he got 26 up, 26 down. On the 27th out, it was clearly a force out at first base, but the umpire, James Joyce, one of the Joyces, one is an author and one is an umpire, I forget which is which, just go with me,
yeah,
called him safe and called it a hit, taking away not only the no-hitter, but also the obvious perfect game. There have only been a few of those, I think like 28, 29 of them, in the entire history of Major League Baseball. Because he really got the 27 outs, and in an era with replay, he definitely would have recorded I think they ought to go back and in the record books, that ought to count as a perfect game. Because it really was a perfect game if it wasn't for an umpire's mistake at the very last second, which everybody agrees was a mistake. It was not a judgment call like the pass interference in your case with the Miami-Ohio State thing.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. That when you have a guy that goes and pitches a game, that type of game,
yeah,
that's spectacular. And if you're telling me that it's clear that we're trying to force out and the referees, the umpire has something to do with it, I think that, that's where it gets hairy. That's where, guys that could have had a certain accolade will never be able to have that accolade anymore.
Yeah.
This conversation is such a tricky and unique conversation because another one for me would be FSU this past year.
Yeah.
I know that that team is not worth nowhere near as much as that team is worth with Jordan Travis at the quarterback position. But what about everybody else on that roster that's not named Jordan Travis? Mm-hmm. They worked their butt off in mat drills and in springtime, and they went out there each and every week and grinded through injury, played through pain, and put together a really good season, a perfect season.
Yeah.
And for them not to get in, I just – that one hurts. And you're talking to a Miami guy here. I don't love FSU. I hate those guys over there.
Yeah.
That's that rivalry. That's that hatred.
I think we had a pretty darn good college football playoff.
Oh,
and I don't think
100%.
Miami. I don't think Florida State would have been able to hang. But I
100%.
I understand what you're saying. That what more would you have wanted them to do? They won every game they played. And it was a subjective call. To put on the best television show that they possibly could for us at ESPN. And by the way, it worked. Yeah. Alabama-Michigan was a great game, and so was Oregon and Washington. We got a couple of really good college football semifinals and a pretty good championship game with Michigan winning to boot. Let's go to the phones. Callers are lining up for this, Orlando. 888-SAY-ESPN. Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. Your opportunity for you to right a wrong in sports. We start with Scott, who's listening in Ohio. Scott is on ESPN Radio. What do you got, Scotty?
Hey, Hammer. Calling from Columbus, and the right or the wrong that needed to be righted, if Reggie Bush has his Heisman, the Buckeyes from Tattoo Gate need to have all of their wins restored, and Tressel needs to be he needs to be vindicated of these things that absolutely screwed us over.
Scott, I agree on the part of the players. I mean, I don't know. Did they take the tattoos, Orlando, away? Did they strip the tattoos off of Terrell Pryor's arm? I don't think so. Give him the gold pants back for beating Michigan. The problem with Tressel, Orlando, he lied to the NCAA. Yeah. The transgression there wasn't that the kids got some tattoos and other benefits. The issue there was that he went and then lied about it. That was the big crux of that problem.
Yeah, especially when you're the head coach of such a dominant program. Mm-hmm. You're the one lying. Like, you're just teaching these kids to that there is no consequences, or the heck with the consequences. So that's why, in my opinion, they made an example of him as well.
But you know what's funny? In this day, and nobody looks at Jim Tressel side-eyed. They look at him as a national champion. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot. Orlando already ruled earlier in this segment that Jim Tressel is not a national champion coach. I stand corrected. Next up, we go to Clay, who's in Houston. He's on ESPN Radio. Clay, right or wrong for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I'm very happy that Reggie got his Heisman back, because I believe personally that he needs to hop on the next jet and fly it over to Vince Young, who deserved that Heisman in 2005. Award were voted on at the after the national championship game,
sure,
I think it would have been a no-doubt victory for Vince.
Clay, I appreciate your sentiments, but Orlando, to me, which would you rather have? The most iconic play in college football history in the national title, or the Heisman? I think for Vince, this is an acceptable trade-off, that he's the icon that won that game and he got the last laugh, no?
Yes, he did get the last laugh, but why can't you have both? Because Vince, I do believe that, you know, when you look at Vince Young and you what he was able to do in that ending, right? You know, he runs into the end zone and just unbelievable run. He changed the game of college football.
For sure.
You were like, hey, I got to go get my Vince Young. I need this is what I'm looking for at the quarterback position moving forward.
I think not just college football. I think that run and that play and that style and that team changed probably football, period, forever. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'll throw out another one here.
I got another one, too.
Okay, the 1995 baseball MVP, Orlando. If you go back and look, Mo Vaughn won, okay? And this is no offense to Mo Vaughn, who is a huge dude and I'm sure could kick my butt. But Albert Bell, in 144 games, had 50 homers and 50 doubles. And the baseball writers didn't like him because he was a little surly and, you know, didn't give them the interviews that they wanted. And so they voted for Mo Vaughn instead. But history needs to show that Albert Bell is actually the 1995 MVP of the American League and not Mo Vaughn. We have full lines, and Orlando is just itching to right another wrong. We will give him that opportunity next. 888-SAY-ESPN if you want to jump in with us. 888-729-3776. Also, up next, how about the spunky Miami Heat? Do they have the lead right now at TD Garden? We'll get back to the NBA. Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wait. Is this score right on ESPN.com? The Heat lead the Celtics 80-70 with 4:10 left in the third quarter. Miami outscoring Boston 22-9 so far in the third. And everybody had this marked as a sweep. Boy, Boston playing with their food yet again. Amber and Ian's on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. I'm Aaron Goldhammer. He's Orlando Franklin. We are presented by our friends at Progressive Insurance. We will talk more NBA coming up in just a few minutes and as this game continues. But Orlando, we're talking about wrongs that needed to be righted in sports. Reggie Bush got his Heisman back. What else do we need to right? We're trying to right the wrongs here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. And I teased you have another one that you feel like is great. Go ahead. The floor is yours. What is the wrong that you would like to right?
NBA dunk competition a couple years back, Zach LaVine versus Aaron Gordon. Aaron Gordon was jumping over mascots. Mascots were on hoverboards, whirling around. He did some crazy dunk where he like took it out of the mascot's hands and put it underneath his legs and dunked it over his thing. And then they gave it to Zach because he ran and took off from the free throw line. I really believe that Aaron Gordon should have won that dunk competition. Very upsetting.
I think you should have to be a great dunker to judge a dunk contest. You know,
yeah, that too.
This past year, you got guys out there that I'd like, you know, who are good players, but I don't want Gary Payton judging a dunk contest. A steals contest? Okay, Gary Payton could judge it. But you got to have Dr. J. It should be the same group every year. Dr. J, yes. Dominique, yes. Kenny Skywalker, if he's available, yes. Spud Webb, yes. You should not have guys that could hardly dunk judging these. They're not experts in the field. 888-SAY-ESPN, our number, 888-729-3776. We go to Charleston, South Carolina, where Daniel would like to right a wrong. Daniel, you're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
And I love the Aaron Gordon, by the way. I totally agree. But, no, I think Sterling Sharp needs to be in the Hall of Fame. If you watched him play, he was the best one or two receivers, and the other guy was a guy named Jerry Rice. When he was playing, he was all pro 3 out of 7 seasons, pro bowler for 5 out of 7, and 1 year that he didn't win the make the Pro Bowl, he had Tom Zach and Majakowski as his quarterback and still had 900 yards. He should have been the MVP for that year. And then my final point on that is, you know, he got hurt, and that final season he still had over 1,000 yards, and he was playing with a neck brace that looked like it came out of a NASCAR.
Yeah,
leaving him out just because he got hurt, I think that's a crime.
Listen, he got crushed because of the injury, but I remember a time where Shannon was not the best Sharp. You know what I mean, Orlando? Where Sterling and where yep. Shannon was really good. But Sterling
was that guy.
Was that guy. Back when I used to score our fantasy football league by hand and look at the box scores in the Denver Post every Monday after NFL Sundays, man, Sterling Sharp was the player to have. And sometimes I think we saw this with Terrell Davis, you know, because we both are close and like the Broncos, root for the Broncos. Terrell Davis got in, and rightfully so, because he was the best running back in football for like 4 years in a row. So his career got cut short because of injury, but when he was at his peak, he ran for 2,000 yards. Like, the list of guys that have done that is very slim.
Yeah. Just beast. We know TD's getting the ball. TD's getting the ball. TD's getting the ball. But credit to a guy like Shannon to really hone in on his ability to block at the line of scrimmage to make sure that he's going to stay on the field. Too many times do we see in the National Football League, oh, this guy's a tight end, phenomenal athlete, but doesn't want to stick his face in there to block. Shannon's never had that problem.
Yeah, he ran behind a good line and a good system and a great line coach. Mark in Georgia is next up on ESPN Radio. What do you got, Mark?
Steve McNair should have won the Heisman. Let's correct that right, that wrong. The man threw for 3,000 yards 2 years and then had 6,000 yards his senior year.
Here's the problem.
900-something yards rushing with 5,000 yards passing.
Here's the problem. Can you win the Heisman Trophy at Alcorn State? Because that's what that came down to, right? But and it was in an era where it's not like Alcorn State was available on ESPN Plus for every one of their games. Orlando, most of the Heisman voters, they knew who Steve McNair was, but they were not watching Alcorn State football on every single Saturday to be able to vote for the right guy for the trophy.
Yeah, and that's the issue, right? I mean, when you start looking at some of these guys in the school, and then they're going to start talking about the competition and things like that. So we saw it. I would say last year we saw it. And this is the best example I could give to this. Nikola Jokic plays for the Denver Nuggets, was the league MVP back-to-back, had an opportunity to get it 3 years in a row. And last year, Joel Embiid, and the spin that I was hearing was that, oh, he doesn't deserve it and all these different things. Well, my theory behind it is a lot like what we're talking about with McNair, is playing in a market where a lot of people don't, you know, stay up late or say, hey, I got to watch this game, or, you know, set the alarm clock and make sure that you're tuning in. I think that sometimes you could just fall into, you could get the short end of a stick because of where you're at. And that's what happened with McNair.
The Alcorn State Braves played Grambling, Chattanooga, Alabama State, Sam Houston State, Mississippi Valley State, shout out Jerry Rice, Texas Southern, Prairie View, Samford, Troy, Jackson State, and then they finished their season against Youngstown State. Steve McNair's numbers that year were otherworldly. But again, he wasn't playing Nebraska or Florida State or on ABC. Keith Jackson wasn't calling his games. Probably what it came down to, Rashan Salaam, by the way, your 1994 Heisman Trophy winner. Kijana Carter finished second. I did not know that off the top of my head. I had to go back and look it up. Andrew in Delaware is next up on ESPN Radio. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what up, man? Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah,
hey, how you doing, Andrew?
Go ahead, you're on.
Yeah, all right, sweet, what's up? Listen, the biggest rob of all time is the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl. The last catch of the game, Antonio Brown catches the game-winning touchdown, and when you look at the replay, his left foot is on the ground, and his right foot is tucked behind it like a ballerina right in the middle of his foot, and then he timbers down, and then his left foot comes off the ground, and he follows that right foot tucked on his left foot the entire time. The right foot never touches it. They robbed the Cardinals of a Super Bowl just to give the Steelers a sixth ring, and
Hang on. First of all, it's Santonio Holmes, not Antonio Brown. Thanks for the call, but it's one of the most famous plays in NFL history. If you're going to come on ESPN Radio, you got to know the receiver that made it. Second of all, it is one of the greatest catches of all time. Nobody hates the Steelers probably around these parts more than I do. I'm in Cleveland. They're the arch nemesis of the Browns. But I got to give it up. That's one of the great catches of all time. He got both feet in his catch. Orlando?
Yeah, I thought Santonio got both feet in as well. I've seen the play a million times. And I don't know what angle our guy just was talking about.
I know what he's talking about. There's a picture out there that shows Santonio Holmes' right foot touching the bottom of his left foot. And people have extrapolated that to say, oh, he never got both feet down. But again, that's one picture. If you look at the whole play, there is an instance where he has both feet down.
Yes.
I didn't even know that this was complicated. Also, if you're a Cardinal, this goes back to what we were talking about with the Sixers. You had seven chances to tackle James Harrison on the pick before the half, and you didn't do it. Are we really litigating Super Bowls from 15, 16 years ago? Yes, we are. With Harry Black jumping into the conversation, I'm Aaron Goldhammer, Orlando Franklin on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. Next up, let's go to Mike, who's in Tennessee, joins us on ESPN Radio. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Good to have you. What do you got?
Let's right the wrong for all Seahawks fans with Pete Carroll run the damn ball.
Okay, that's not – so you want to go back? How is that righting a wrong, though? That's a dumb coaching decision. I don't know that that's like something unfair that happened. You can't argue the Seahawks deserve to win a game, Mike, can you?
They should have won that Super Bowl if he would have ran that ball. They lost the Super Bowl because of it.
Yeah, but that's their fault.
That's your coach. You got to stand behind your coach, right? That's the leader of the organization.
Look, I appreciate the thought, but this is like bad calls, bad decisions, things that are unfair. That was just stupid. That wasn't unfair. That was just dumb. You had the best short yardage running back of all time. You hand him the ball. He crosses the goal line. Everybody throws their hands in the air. We win the Super Bowl. Instead, you're trying to make Russ the hero, and you're making this too complicated. Credit to the Patriots. Malcolm Butler made a great play. That's not righting a wrong. I think they deserve the ring.
Absolutely. Great play, great call. Malcolm Butler jumped in front of that ball, and he knew what his eyes, right? I mean, Super Bowl game over.